This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm excited today to be joined by Deborah Coviello. Deborah is a national expert, leading expert on women's leadership issues. She's also built a couple of her own distinct theories about leadership. So I'm thrilled to have her on today. Deborah, can you take one moment to introduce yourself?
All right, Scott, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this time with your listeners. I will share that I am the founder of my own business, Illumination Partners, and I've created the Drop-In CEO brand that I think really speaks to the leadership style that I have when I engage with clients and people. Currently, I do service small and medium-sized companies in the flavors and fragrance industry, bringing my skills of quality and operational excellence to business owners and CEOs who are going through rapid change and need me to not only solve their business issues, but I also, the style that I have is I elevate people along the way. And true to the Drop-In CEO brand, one of the other things that's near and dear to my heart is that I do coach and mentor high performance professionals because I see such a need for amazing talent in all the organizations that I go through to really help develop their essential skills so they can get to the next level. So it's passionate work that I do. It's an area where I am developing course content to be able to scale and reach so many other people. But I, like you, also have a passion project. I also am the host of the Drop-In CEO podcast. So similar to yourself, I am inspired by industry leaders, and I love bringing those thoughts, those insights, and inspiration to my listeners. And I do target high-performance professionals, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders. So again, thank you for the opportunity to share some of my story.
Well, thank you. And talk to us about three things that leaders, as they go on in a leadership journey or as they lead, should be thinking about. Give us three thoughts along those lines.
You know, something that I see time and time again in people that I coach is, you know, they're amazingly technically competent and are amazing at speaking. But one thing I've had to share with them is you need to spend 70% of your time listening. Listening is an amazingly powerful tool that you listen to the landscape, the people on your team, and then 30% of the time you bring forth your ideas to enrich and help the team. So a biggest tool for them is to listen. Listen more, speak less, and then powerful, powerful thing. Another thing I have found along the way is that we forget to think. And I would say up-and-coming leaders need to take time to think about what they're doing and why they're doing it. So often we get caught up in the day-to-day of simply executing transactions. But you will find, and I have found in my career, that it points along the way where I've had crossroads, where I had an opportunity to maybe change careers, or I was in a situation where what I was doing wasn't serving me. The greatest growth of an individual is when they stop and take some time to think, whether it's a day, a weekend, or a month, you'll come out of it so much better. And the last thing I think I see in up-and-coming professionals, as well as seasoned leaders, is their voice and the words they choose. So I think, for me, how we speak and the impactful words we use are probably another significant tool. And an example of this is when people go to meetings where they're pitching a presentation, they'll use language like, I think, or could we, or should we, or what do you think about this, versus affirmative, powerful words to show that you're thinking, that you have a voice, such as I need, I believe, I propose, and we should do this. It totally changes the way you impact the people in the room around you. So those are some three thoughts that I feel strongly about, and hopefully that'll resonate with a few of your listeners.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me just ask you to take one moment, 30 seconds, and just quickly list/summarize those three so our listeners can further take those home.
I propose some of the biggest tools in your toolbox when you reflect about your current leadership style is listen more, speak less. Take time in your day or your week or your month to think about what you're doing and the impact you're having. And finally, when you do speak, pick significant affirmative language to demonstrate your thought leadership and your position and your impact.
Thank you. Deborah, you talk a lot about in your writings and speakings about what you title reflective leadership. Can you take a moment and explain what that is and why that's so important?
I feel reflective leadership is really a strength that some of us don't take the time to develop. And a quick story around that, as the head of quality for the number one flavor company globally, I came into an organization that was not functioning. We had the lowest performance. And for about a year, we continued to not continue to move. And at the end of the day, I realized, and through some reading, that I was fully accountable for the results. The buck stopped with me. And so I went to a place of taking the time to not only think about what I was doing, but why was I leading? Why was it important? And how I led my people? And after going through a period of reflection and then bringing those ideas forward to my leadership organization globally, I shared with them my why. I shared with them the how I was going to lead differently. And only later did I say, these are the things that I'm going to do to make a difference. And the story is a little sad, but also truly indicative of what reflective leadership is that the current leadership did not realize or didn't appreciate the fact that I didn't spend enough time saying what I was going to do differently. But the silent people in the room came to me later and said, we need more people like you who go to your why and go to your how versus what you're going to do. And so in the moment, it didn't feel good, but I had the affirmation from others. And when I moved back in the following year from a place of reflection and I led differently, why I was doing what I was doing and how I leveraged the resources around me, we went from a number four last region to number two. And that was because of how I changed and I took accountability. So my message for people is, along the way, if you're not getting the results that you need, it stops with you. There's nobody to blame. And go to a place of reflection and understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And if you need to move into a different role, that may be your decision, but ultimately you're accountable and have those decisions on how you're going to lead going forward. So reflection is a powerful tool for the leaders up and coming.
And fantastic. And so important to try and really take time out or time to assess how you're going to lead, how you're going to communicate, how you're going to do things. So just, I think, a great thought. You also talk, Deborah, in your writings about something called the 7P approach. And while reflective leadership, I could intuit a little bit what that means. I am lost on 7P. So can you tell us a little bit about the 7P approach and what do you mean by that?
So the 7P approach is an acronym for the seven critical elements of really having an impact on your clients or customers. And peace of mind is really the ultimate goal of what we are trying to impact. So often in, I would say, an operations environment, because that's where I come from, we measure ourselves on goals and targets, which I call performance measurements, and we pull the levers of people, process, and tools or platforms. And for the most part, that works, those four P's. But you miss the mark of having an impact on your customers. No customer is going to give you more business because you met your goals of service or improving your quality. Ultimately, business owners or major industries are looking for peace of mind. And peace of mind is knowing that they can sleep at night, not worry about your company's products or services, that they're going to be there. And even when there are issues along the way, they can trust you that you have your back. And when we think about organizations and we leverage our people to work through people, process, and tools to achieve performance objectives, all you're going to get are people that are going to hit targets. But when you give them a perspective of this is what we're really trying to do to achieve peace of mind, to enhance a customer's brand, and you pull people in to think about and use their minds, aspiring to achieve peace of mind is much broader and significant than simply performance goals. And in order to do that, I add a few more P's to the process. I find that when we come to the table and are members of a team or lead, we need to understand the people in the room's past. And that's equivalent to culture because we have different perspectives when we come to the table. And if we don't spend time learning people's past or culture, we miss the value that people bring to the table, and we also don't form deep connections. We also need to add another P to the foundation before we move forward, and that's people's pride. And pride is the intersection of their intellectual property, their technology, their gifts, and their skills with the human being. And when we bring teams together, we need to spend time to understand the pride or the intellectual property that they bring, because sometimes if we embrace their past and their intellectual property, the direction decisions we make to achieve peace of mind may actually be different. And so there's a lot in there. Peace of mind is achieved through working through people, process, and platforms, achieving certain performance objectives, but marrying it with the past, the culture, the pride, the intellectual property, you achieve a far greater result. And then finally, when I talk about people, it is a little bit different than training and getting people to the table. It's about sponsors being more of coaches and mentors for performance, because I find in team dynamics, sometimes people are good at their technical skills, but they don't know how to interface effectively with other humans. And so our leaders and sponsors need to go to a place of mentoring and coaching when it comes to the people dimension of achieving organizational outcomes. So the 7P approach is a slightly different mindset to work in the framework of peace of mind for what we're trying to achieve versus simply performance measurements and tactical goals.
Thank you very much. And just fascinating. Let me ask you another question. How did you start your consulting business? How did you get going sort of in the consulting and leadership training that you do? How did you move into that? And what was that starting like? And then I promise, Deborah, I'll let you go in a moment.
So that's a fantastic question. And, you know, now that I think back or reflect, it's actually a little bit blurry, because I actually think while I was working in my corporate job, I was already an entrepreneur, practicing new ideas and trying to work in a different way that I thought would get better results. And at the end of the day, I and the business I was working with decided to part ways. But then I had said, what do I want to do with myself now? Do I want to go back into a corporate job or start my own business? And it was that reflection of looking at the gifts that I had already acquired and supported corporate, but could I take those same gifts and do it on my own? And really, it was simply a matter of belief in yourself, which sometimes leaders may not have, belief in yourself and the skills you have, and the ability to learn new skills like marketing, sales, social media, podcasting, and all the likes that you need, and getting the people around you to help achieve those goals. So it's been an interesting transition. I've been in business for now 15 months. It has been an amazing journey of transforming myself, learning how to build a business, building a brand that people trust. So thank you for asking. I've enjoyed the ride and hope to continue for a long time.
Deborah, final question, I promise. How do people learn more about you? How do they reach you?
Thank you for that. So I am extremely active on LinkedIn. If you look up Deborah A. Coviello, you'll find a lot of insights and inspiration for you. My website is dropinceo.com. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, dropinceo, and my email is deborah@coviellocm.com. And just Scott, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Deborah, very much. What a pleasure visiting with you today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.